Thank God. It's good to be here today. Surprise everybody. good to see all our friends, Les and the others, our brothers. Great to be in the church. I had promised my brother-in-law, who is pastoring a church in New York, Assemblies of God, Bethel Assembly of God, to go with him to India. And I always keep telling him I'm going to go with him. So last year, we kind of sealed the deal and said, well, we're going this year. And this year, so many things came up, but I said, I am just going to go and preach the word over there. And however it worked out, one of the brothers that came and preached at my church when I was at Ephrata, he also has an orphanage. And we'll be staying with him and working with the kids in the orphanage. Isn't that something? Talking about giving this morning, I sat there and watched, and I told the kids at our orphanage, I'm going to India and I want to take an offering for the kids in India. And would you believe we collected what? Almost 4,000 Guyana dollars, which is 20 US dollars. The kids give, but you say, how have they got money to give? Well, visitors come in there and give them money. I remember one pastor came in there and he had $1,000 Guyana money, which is 5 US dollars. And he asked them questions. And when they answer, he gave them $1,000. Some of the guys were smarter than others. They got $3,000. But the Lord has been good to us. God has been good to us at the orphanage. God has worked miracles. Miracles. If you haven't had a miracle late, you ought to come to the Blessed Children Home Orphanage and you'll see some miracles. This past summer, August, July, our total of kids reached 30. 30. We had three other kids coming from another orphanage to stay with us because they closed their orphanage during summer. Isn't that funny? And send the kids back to their parents or family or other homes. And then I said, that's not right. In my mind, I don't want my kids to go back to their alcoholic home where the mother and the father, both of them are alcoholics. And when they came to our home, their rules were different from ours. One of the girls, she's like 18 years old, big. And she brought us some movies the first day she came, you know? All these latest movies. I said, we don't want those movies here. She was shocked. And we had so many complaints from the other girls. And the other girls concluded and said, Pastor, we don't want to come back here. But however, our standards at Blessed Children Home, very high. And you might be proud to know that it's one of the best orphanages in Guyana and in the region. And one guy who traveled to 74 countries in the world said it's one of the best he's seen wherever he has been. And so we thank God for that. Amen? Amen. We give God praise and honor and glory for all his blessings. You may have gotten one of these newsletters. Anybody got one? And right at the front page there is a miracle right here. This lady, she's a lawyer, a Guyanese lawyer, in Washington, D.C. Well, Bethesda, Maryland, she lives. And she's sponsoring this extension to the building. The miracle is she's a dedicated Muslim. 100%. you talk about a miracle? There's a miracle. I tell you, it's amazing. What happened is, I'll take a few minutes and talk. What time you close? 11:30? All right. Myself and Sheila, my wife, you know her, you met her. She sent her greetings to you. Wish she could be here. She's supervising the building and the kids. And if you know my wife, she doesn't want nothing to go unnoticed. She got to be there to see everything. So we were living in one room of the orphanage. One room. In that room, we have a refrigerator, we have a TV, all our clothes, everything that we own, it's right in there. And of course, the other places is living room, and you can go out and sit down. And where we live, the kids play around there and all of that. We got one guy, his name is Akash. He'll peep in our room sometimes. And I say, hey, don't peep in my room. Well, not only that, they come right around there, make noise early in the morning, late in the afternoon, whatever. And so I was telling my wife, Sheila, we need a place. We need a private place. And I told her, maybe right here in this building, we can build something next door. And we were just talking about it, and we started to pray about it. I am telling you the truth, and I'm telling you how this all came out. I said, Lord, we'd like to have a place, and we don't know, show us the way how to go about it. And one day, me and Sheila, we were home. The kids went to school, and we had a visit from three ladies, Muslim ladies. They wear the Muslim garb, you know what I mean? Of course, one of them had their head tied, but they all... So welcome, we said, you know, we came out, we put them, sit down, and we talked with them, and they're visiting. And they visited the Muslim orphanage and some of the other orphanage. They're visiting. I said, well, we're glad to have you. And my wife, Sheila, she's ready to show them around, you know? And then one of the ladies, her name is Rahimoon, right there. She said she had surgery, head surgery, and she came through. So God was good to her. They told her she couldn't live and all that stuff. And she wanted to do something, a project. I said, well, here's a Muslim lady, and I'm going to tell her about this project now. You see what I'm getting? I don't know what's going to be the result. I said, why don't you try this project? We want to build a house next door here. Just like that. And we talked a little bit and all that. And she said, why don't you send me the plan and send me an estimate? I said, fine. All the time, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I mean, honestly, I was an unbeliever, you know? And God has to forgive us sometimes. But you know, God moves in mysterious ways. It's amazing. I sent her the estimate, I sent her the plan, and she said, listen, you're coming to the States in June, that's when we were here the last time. We want to meet with you and talk about this. I said, great, you heard what I said when I was here the last time. We met them in Roosevelt Island in a condominium, we had dinner and all the rest. And she's a lawyer, so we signed a contract that she's going to build this place. I don't know what I was signing. I mean, I said, I wanted money, brother, to build this place. And she gave me a check right there to start, $25,000. I said, whoa, this is a good check here, brother. Hallelujah. And we started, and we're going on. And the picture you see there with the roof being going up, the roof is completed. The walls are all almost done around. By the time I get back, everything is going to be done. two guys from Pennsylvania here, York, their brother Larry recruited, and Jeremy. Jeremy is a carpenter. He's coming to build the cupboards and the wardrobes and all the stuff in the building. And that's one story how the Lord works, mysteriously. And I said, praise the Lord. And I'm praying almost every day. I say almost because I don't want to say every day and then I miss out some days, that God would save this lady. You ought to join with me and pray that God would save her. Her friend came to visit through her just this past week, and she brought $300 US. So, well, we like friends like that. And she was so happy, you know, excited. And this lady, being a lawyer, I sent all the bills to her, and I sent a statement of how, you know what I mean, how much is left and how much I got. And she liked that. I'm very pleased with that. I said, well, great. I'm going to keep doing that once you like it. And it's really exciting. But God is blessing. We are having bread now from four different places. And we got to share the bread with some of our house parents because we don't want it to spoil. We're having fruits coming in every week. Fish. One lady came in the other day just before I left. She owns a pharmacy in Guyana. They manufacture drugs. Said, we're going to give you all the, you know, all the cough medicine and everything you need. And she's going to send groceries every month. I said, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so God is blessing mightily, brethren. God is blessing. And we are looking forward. Right here, we got 10 acres of land. I went there the other day and put the sign up. We had to claim it, you see. I mean, when it's clear, we already have the papers for it, but we got to put our stake down that this is our land. Don't mess around here, brother. This is God's property. And only God knows. We don't have a penny to start building, but we are trusting the Lord. Who knows what God may do? Amen? Maybe when I come back the next time, I'll tell you what God is doing down there. And it just encourages me. I could not have worked in a work that God wasn't blessing. I would have had to quit. But you see, I believe in prayers. And once my prayers are being answered, I'm happy. I know my connection is all right. I don't care what anybody say. I mean, they'll talk. And the people in Guyana, the church in Guyana, is shocked at what's going on here. You know, the Christians. I said, well, this is the Muslim. You call them sinners, eh? But she's building this place. I'm going to put her name up there. She want. I said, yeah, no problem. You spend the money, you pick the tune. Is that right? That's only fair. If a Christian church is spending money, I'll put their name there too. But God is blessing mightily. We had, right now we got 25, we had 26 kids officially. One was reunited with his parents. His mother is an alcoholic. He's a little Amerindian guy. And his mother got drunk and told him, I'm going to throw you in front of a truck. His father was home. He was out in the jungles looking for diamonds and gold. And when he came back home, he was all upset that his son was taken away. So he got a place settled up. And so we do this all the time. The kids would come in there and we teach them the word. They don't want to leave. The boy said, you're not going nowhere. But legally, you know what I mean, the parents have the claim over the child. So the work goes on. There's a great need over there. More and more the society is getting involved in drugs. Before I came, somebody was shot down with an AK-47 rifle, point blank, you know, just shot down for drugs. People disappear suddenly. More, you see, Guyana borders Venezuela and Brazil and Suriname, and the borders are jungles. Anybody can come in and go out anytime. So guns and drugs moving in, nobody knows where they're coming from. And the government, being a third world country, less than 1 million people, with a weak, not a big force, police force, can hardly control the whole situation. So we need a lot of prayers. So the people are getting involved more and more into sporting and drugs and drinking and alcohol. And they work in the gold fields and the money is coming out from there. And once they get the money, they don't care about God. They just have a good time. So we need your prayers, and please continue to remember us. One man visited us this February gone from New York, a Guyanese man. His name is Vernon. Vernon came and he fed the churn, and he brought a gift of $100 US. Thank you, Vernon. I wrote him a letter, and thank you very much. He came back in June, just before we left. And he said, man, I had to come back. He said, since I gave that money to the orphanage, when I went back home, I was blessed. I got so much more. He said, so when he came there, he came alone. But he was so excited about what was going on. He let his wife come down on a special flight just for the weekend to see the orphanage. I said, yes, we're glad to have you. And he said, you know what, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back because since I started giving to this orphanage, I'm blessed. And do you know that when you give to God's children, God's people, God never let it go. He blesses you. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And now I was just thinking the other day, I want to spend the rest of my life with the kids. I don't know about the older folks. Thank God for them. But our kids, they are learning to play the guitar now. They're learning music. We had 5 of them graduated and went to high school. And things are moving on. And they're learning the word. Do you know, like Sunday morning, we have our own church there? Yes, I preach. I use a chalkboard. And we sing, we collect an offering, we have testimonies, we quote scriptures, and we have an hour service. And we have about 29, 30 some Sunday. I'm a pastor again, praise the Lord. And you heard me talk about the church that somebody wanted to build for us. Well, the land is coming through by this year, and I hope it will clear the court. We'll get the title. Maybe next year we start building the church. God knows. All these are miracles that God is doing. And honestly, we believe God can do more as we keep believing in Him and trusting Him. Amen? I want to ask you to stand this morning and get your Bibles. Just for a change, and we're going to do some study today. Share the Word of God with you. And I hope you can be blessed. But before I do, you know, I want to encourage you to don't quit doing what you're doing. I read a little story about a little boy, very weak and frail, and he goes to school, and all the kids laugh at him. Ah, look at him, you know, skinny. And he was living on a farm, so one day, one of his cows got a little calf. So you go from school, and every day you go play with the calf and lift him up, you know, and love him up a little. He comes back the next day, go find the calf and lift him up and play with him a little. And every day, and you know the secret was what? The calf was growing every day and getting heavier. So every day as he lifts him, his muscles were getting bigger. Before long, he was lifting a bull. And everybody in the school was shocked that now this guy, he was the strongest guy. And his muscles were all showing. Because he's not living a calf anymore, he's living a bull. So listen, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you heard about the other guy that applied for the job. They needed a typewriter, a person to type. So he went for the job, and the guy says, he said, yeah, I want a job. He said, well, you can start tomorrow. He said, what about next week? I'll start next Monday. The guy said, okay. Came in next Monday to start a job, and the guy said, but why didn't you start last week? He said, when I left, I went out and rented a typewriter, and for the whole week, I learned to type night and day, so I'm here ready for the job. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Can we pray for a minute? Lord, we thank you today for all your blessings. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you for blessing this church. Pastor Doug and Pastor Fiona, the members, I pray you'll continue to bless them and use them, anoint them. Lord, let this work grow. Let there be more miracles here, miracles of finances, miracles of healing, miracles, Lord, that they need in their lives. Today, open our understanding to your word and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, I want to call this little study today, Revival at Ephesus. You've read this over and over, but there's some things I want to show you today that might amaze you. There was revival at Ephesus, and we see how they get it. Verse 1, Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Ghost, your Bible there was a since you believe, when you believe? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who would come after him, and that is in Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. You may have your seat. You want to keep your Bibles open, because we're going to do some more scriptures there. And we're going to go through some of that later on. But here Paul the Apostle was going to Ephesus. And when he went there, he didn't go to a hotel. He didn't go to, you know, shopping center. He went to look for a church. And when he went there, we got a lot of Christians, when they go on vacations, they don't go look for no church. They stay away from the church. He went to look for, and he found a church. And he went in there, and he told them who he was. And he said, well, you guys, you're way behind, because the Messiah has come. And they said, we all know what John preached, that we should look for the Messiah. And we were baptized like John said we should be baptized. He said, but I'm here to tell you the Messiah has come. He had lived, and he died for our sins. He was buried, hallelujah, somebody say amen, and rose again. And they believed what Paul said. I like that. I like that. And he said what? Have you received the Holy Ghost when you believe? Right here we have a big problem with the churches today. And some of them believe that when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And in a way, yes. But baptism is different from receiving or having the Spirit of God. And right here, Paul is talking of another experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being dipped into the Spirit, being immersed. And the Greek word there is baptizo. And Paul is saying, have you had that experience of being dipped in the Spirit? And I said, we don't know what you're talking about. What about this Holy Spirit? Isn't that sad today that some churches don't teach about the Holy Spirit? Isn't that sad today some churches will stop you if you start speaking in tongues there? And if you get up and say, thus saith the Lord, I said, move him out, carry him away. They don't believe in prophecies. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in prayer for the sick. They believe the gays are okay. But I'm glad for a Pentecostal church. I'm glad for a full gospel church. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm glad for a church that believes in the things of the Bible. Can you say amen? Amen? And the Bible said Paul spoke to them about the name of Jesus and showed them where in prophecy he was the Messiah. He was born of a virgin. And he was the Son of God, and he came, and he died, and he rose again. And because of him, our sins forgiven. And they were baptized again in the right way. It says here, in the name of Jesus. And the apostolic church says, that's the way we ought to be baptized. Yes, but the name of Jesus is also the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is Jehovah. And we can spend a whole sermon on that. But we got to move on. And then the Bible said they had a service after that. Come on. Are you with me? Can you picture this? And Paul started laying his hands on them. You know, some preachers would take some oil out that smells good and put it in you and make a cross on your forehead. He didn't do that. And some of them will hit you so hard on your forehead that you fall on the ground. I don't like that kind of church. But he just simply laid his hands on them. Holy hands. Anointed hands. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hands that are blessed. Hands that do the work of God. Laid his hands on them. And they began to be filled with the Spirit. Now here's the point. They began to speak with tongues and prophesy. I don't know what you believe, but I believe when you're filled and baptized, you will speak in tongues. Amen. You will speak in tongues. And you will prophesy. And tongues are what we call in the Bible a divine language, where we speak to God, and men don't understand unless God give them the interpretation of that message. Are you with me this morning? All right. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
They were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And they were all prophesying. And that means somebody got up and said, thus said the Lord. There will be a revival in Ephesus of great miracles. Now a person got up and said, thus said the Lord. This man is a man of God that brings the word of God to us. Somebody get up and said, hey, this church is going to be booming and be blessed. And then one man got up and said, there's going to be persecution ahead. Tribulation. And I show you that it came true right in that same chapter. It came true right in that chapter. They were prophesying and they were speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. For when we speak in tongues, we speak not unto men, but unto God, and we edify ourselves. We speak to men unless somebody will interpret it. But when we're not speaking, when we're not interpreting, we're speaking to God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And when he laid his hands on them, and there were 12 men in all. Now, from what I understand from the history and culture, the men sit on one side, right? And the women sit on there. There were 12 men, and they had wives. There were 12 wives over here. And if the kids were there, wherever they were, each one had two, there would be 24 kids, 24 adults, a church of 48 people. Hallelujah. All right, think with me now. Let's see what's happening here. I believe when Paul was laying his hands on the men and they were speaking in tongues, I think the ladies over there were getting a little shaky too. Somebody say amen. I believe they were speaking in tongues, but they didn't record that part. Because in those days, the ladies don't have too much of a say in the affairs of the church. Somebody say amen. Because, Sister Julie, when the rain is falling, it falls on everybody who walks out in it. Am I right here? And when the Holy Ghost fell in that church, I believe the woman got a touch too. And I believe the little kids were all enjoying the moving of the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. And let's go on and see what happened here. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for 3 months. So this thing happened maybe in somebody's house. And the people heard about it. What's going on over there? Did you not hear what happened? They received the Holy Ghost. So Paul said, I'm coming to the synagogue, which he had a legal right to go as a Jew on the Sabbath. Is that right? And he went and started to teach them about Jesus, the Messiah, who came to die for our sins. They'll bury him and he'll rise again. And you thought that would be good. Well, let's see what happened here. They didn't like that. So then we said what? Verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe and spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples. There's sometimes you got to stay away from some people. Watch that. You need to underline that. If they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, you better watch it. Because they were speaking evil of the Holy Spirit. It says that right there. They didn't like what Paul was saying. They become hard and unbelieving. You should not tie yourself together with unbelievers. It says here, They did not believe. Now, look at it this way. This man, Paul, was a mighty man, had power. Couldn't he stay there and say, I'm going to get all these people saved in the name of Jesus? No. He said, no, you don't belong here, brethren. Come out. Wow. When I read that, believers ought to be with those who speak in tongues, who prophesy, who pray for the sick, who don't believe in abortions, who don't believe that the gay people will go to heaven unless they come and repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. And we got to withdraw ourselves. We cannot associate with these people. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Wow, when I saw that, I said, whoa, hallelujah. We got to draw a line somewhere. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't get involved in that kind of stuff. And these people did not believe, and Paul said, come out from among them. Stay away. And look what happened. He went into a school daily of one Tyrannus, and he continued there for 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. But you see what happened here? My Lord, have mercy. This was a city. When Paul withdrew the believers, he had meeting in a seminary. We call it seminary today, a school. And people came. And he stayed there for 2 years and trained them. The revival was going on that started with the Holy Spirit. He trained them and sent them out. Look at that. So all of Asia, the whole place, got the message. He didn't go by himself to every little village and every little city. Come on, somebody say amen. He was in a school training these guys. 2 years Bible school training. Look at that. And send them out all over Asia. Let me tell you something. If you're going to work for God, you got to get some training. You got to get your head down in the book and learn what God says. You got to know. And Paul took time out to train these guys, send them out all over Asia, and let them tell the people about the Holy Spirit and about the power of God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The revival continues. You see, my friend, the revival starts with the Holy Spirit and continues as the Word of God is being taught for 2 years. We can't just tell our own little stories and expect revival to continue. We got to get to the Word. The Word is light. The Word is power. The Word is fire. The Word is water. The Word is a lamp. And we got to stick to the Word for revival. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. That even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the disease left them. And evil spirits went out of them. The revival continues. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, the revival was in the school, brother. And the Spirit of God was moving. And Paul was praying for these people and they were healed. And here comes this lady. You know what he said? I got a daughter home. She's sick. And I couldn't get her here. Can you say a prayer for her? And what Paul did? Paul said, you got a handkerchief? Say, give me that handkerchief. Somebody say amen. Said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let the anointing go on this cloth here. As she takes it back, this child will be healed. She takes the handkerchief back. The child is healed. The next night, everybody brought their aprons. And everybody brought a piece of cloth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what we call revival. In a revival, there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues. In a revival, there is prophecy. In a revival, there is separation. Some people will like it, some won't like it. In a revival, there's a teaching of the Word. Without a teaching of the Word, there'll be no revival. In a revival, there is healing, special miracles. Somebody say amen. It's all right there in the Bible. It was there all the time. But we're digging up this morning. They took back the kerchiefs. They took back the aprons. And demons ran out. Wow. You heard about the church down there? Oh, they got the church in Tirana School, in the school up there in the road. I hear some great things are happening. I got to go see. And they come through the door and the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. Somebody say amen. You see, you may talk nice things and you may sing nice and you may do nice things and plan nice programs, but it's going to be the anointing. It's going to be the Holy Ghost that is going to draw men unto Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And unless we got the power of the Holy Ghost, we're not going to get the men drawn to Christ. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those that had spirits, evil spirits. And he said, we command you to come out by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They wanted to imitate the real power of God. And a lot of people try to do that today. They jump and they holler and they make a lot of noise. But there is no power. There is no power. The Holy Ghost power works from the inside coming out. When the Holy Ghost moves, he squeezes the heart and juice comes out the eyes. When the Holy Ghost moves, he rings the joy bell in the heart, and the feet start dancing. Somebody say amen. You see what I'm trying to say? You can't fake this thing for long. People will find you out. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. And these young fellas, sons of Sceva, whatever you call them, they said, hey, we're going to try this revival thing. We're going to make some money here, buddy. They got to give us good money to cast out these demons. And there was this guy that came with a demon. And they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, come out. It's not that easy. If you're going to call the name, you got to live up to the name. If you're going to use the name, you got to live up to what the name requires. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, at the orphanage, we had a little joke the other day. The kids want my name. Search Paul. They want to be part of my family. I said, that's going to be hard. It's not going to be that easy. You see, and when you call the name of Jesus and you live the life and you do the things, you say, there is power that goes out with that name. There is anointing. Somebody say amen. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. There is deliverance. Somebody say amen. Chains are falling out. Bonds are being broken. People are being relieved in the name of Jesus. And these guys keep bugging this guy with the demon. And the demon said, guys, let me tell you, I know Paul. He's a great guy. And I'm afraid of Paul. And I know Jesus. But you guys ain't got no power. You ain't got nothing. And he started to beat them up. He lashed them in the faces. He grabbed their clothes, pulled it off. And they were running out of the house naked. Woo! Break up the whole revival. I heard of one guy who was casting out a demon, and the demon out his hand and punched him right in his eye. He went over with a big swollen eye. If you got power, demons don't come too close to you. I remember when I was a young pastor, just started preaching, 19 years old. There was a guy that had a demon that came to my church. The church was under a house on a mud floor. And this guy, this demon, come up on this guy. Big, strong guy. And he sweats, and his clothes is wet from top to the bottom. And every time I try to talk about Jesus, he disturbs me. And I take the Bible and put it in his head, and he sits down. Yeah, he was quiet, the power of the Bible. And every time I talk about the name of Jesus, he just comes in and this, eventually, I had to get some help with some other pastors to cast the demon out of this guy. And you know what he told us when he was sober? He said, I want this demon. This demon promised me money and riches. And we couldn't help him no more. Because if we cast him out, he invites him to come back in. And it's funny. In Guyana, there's a lot of demon and witchcraft all over the place. And you got to be careful. You better live right when you go there. Or else they start beating on you and chase you out of the place. Somebody say amen. So let me tell you something. This is why A man of God, filled with the Spirit and anointed of God, will make it where God sent him. Because he's going there with the anointing of God. He's going there with the power of God. He's not going there to make a show. He's not going there to collect an offering. He's going there to do God's work, to stand for God and heal the sick and cast out the devils and lay hands that people will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Some people wouldn't like it, but he's got to do it. This became known, I'm reading it verse 17. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell in them all. And the name of Jesus was magnified. Many of them believed that Paul was the real thing now. That's the real guy. He's got the power. Somebody say amen. The other guys ain't got nothing. All they want is your money. All they want is for you to follow them. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Well, he's a real guy. But he's tough. Because he don't want you to mix with those people over there. He tell us not to go mix with them. Let me tell you something. Share your secret. When Paul separated these people, then the special miracle started. You notice that? Then the demons were cast out. Did you notice that? There is power in separation. There is power when you separate yourself from the world. There is power when you separate yourself from those who don't believe. Have you met some people? Are you telling you want to build an orphanage? And they tell you, well, I don't know how you're going to do it. I hope you make it. But I know somebody who started one and he never made it. Unbelievers. You don't want to mix with them. Separate yourselves from them. Somebody say amen. Amen. You met anybody you want to do something for the Lord? And they said, well, I don't know. They discourage you. Separate yourself from them. Amen. People living in adultery and fornication, don't let them call you friend. You love them, you pray for them, but don't be seen together all the time. Separate yourself. God wants sanctified people. God wants holiness people. God wants people that are living right. Then he's going to give his power. And when you have the power of God, you're not afraid of the devil. He's not going to beat you up. You're going to beat him up. You see, some people, they rebuke the devil like this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out. And they're backing away. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil started to back away. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of difference today in preachers. And you ought to take note. We got a lot of believers that run here and run there, and they're being deceived. But you know, being a church where the man of God is filled with the Holy Ghost, and when he lays his hands on you, God touches you and God heals you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And let's see what happens. Verse 18, and many who believed came confessing, telling their deeds. And also many of them who practiced magic brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and a total 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. See, when there's a revival, people get touched, convicted. They came and confessed their sins, and they brought their magic books and their witchcraft books and burned them in the public. Oh, hallelujah, I like that. When somebody is genuinely saved, they burn the bridges behind them. They don't go back. They don't go back, my brother. No, no, no. They go forward in the name of the Lord. As the Apostle Paul said, I press towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind, I move forward. They burn their books, and the word of God grew mightily. There's a big revival. Everybody's talking about Paul. I know that guy, Paul. He's a mighty man. I know that church. That's a big church. But how it became big, the power of God, the healing of the sick, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the casting out of demons. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You get one miracle in the church and you see the results. It's great. But the devil was not going to be happy. You go on reading and you see what happened. They had a riot in the city. Demetrius, the silversmith, got all the other guys together and said, hey guys, we can't allow this to happen to us. We are a city that worships the goddess Diana. And we sell all these images, you know? We make images out of silver and stone, and people come here and they buy. We're going out of business. See, when there's a revival in tongue, the rum shop and the beer garden's got to close up. Somebody say amen. The nightclubs, the people that run them move out. Why? Because now the people are coming to get the true living waters from the hand of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And they had a big riot. Paul wasn't there in the riot. He was somewhere else, but he wanted to go face them. And the men said, no, you're not going. You stay back right here. They were wild. You know what I mean? They were wild. They would have killed somebody. You see, the devil wouldn't sit by. You see, if your church is not being persecuted, maybe you're not doing the right things. But anytime you start to do the right things, even some people that call themselves believers will start to oppose you. So here we got it. You want a revival in your church? Get people filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Get them to prophesy. Yes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Teach the word, brother. And when some don't believe, separate them. Say, hey, you don't mix too much stuff. People don't believe that kind of doctrine over here. We believe this. Huh? Lay hands on the sick. Pray on the kerchiefs. Pray on the apron. Somebody say amen. Amen. Train the believers. Train them and send them out. Let the whole of Palmyra and the whole of Hershey and the whole of Harrisburg hear the word of God, the people that you train. And see what's going to happen. They're going to come right here in this church and confess that they've found Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They'll burn their alcohol bridges. They'll give up their drugs. Somebody say amen. Amen. They'll break their lives of adultery and fornication. They'll turn away from the sins of the world and they'll start to follow Jesus and live a sanctified and a holy and a clean life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the revival will go on and multitudes will be saved and the word of God is going to prevail. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, we don't look to not a preacher for revival. We've got to look up to heaven. God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. God, let us prophesy. And when we keep knocking at God's door, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If there's just 12 people that will come together and start praying and they get filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole city will be shaken. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Things are going to start happening. So think about it. Paul never had a PA system. He never printed a handbill. Never went on the radio. Never went on the TV. All he had was the word of God. And he said, you come here, I promise you one thing. You're going to get the word of God right here. You come here, I promise you one thing. I'm going to lay hands on you and something's going to happen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Let me say something. Listen to me. The people that are not saved, they're spiritually blind. The god of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their eyes. They cannot see. How their eyes are going to be open? By telling them a joke? No. By telling them a nice story? No. The Holy Ghost has got to come and apply the anointing to their spiritual eyes. And then their eyes open and say, whoa. Jesus is the Lord. I got to serve him. They're bound in chains by demons, maybe not possessed, but influenced, driven, pushed by demons. How are they going to be delivered? By the power of God moving in the church. By the power of the Holy Spirit moving in the church. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By the believers being filled with the power of God. Somebody say amen. And when this starts to happen, people are going to hear what's going on in that church from there. Demons are cast out. I never knew she had a demon. She looked so ordinary. She looked like everybody else. But when God is working, things happen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell the pastor and all of you. When the power is turned on, the word becomes easy. I took back a power wash home. The boys like to use it, you know. You turn on the power, it cleans everything out. You don't have to scrub too much. And when you turn on the power from heaven, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They've fallen without you touching them. They get filled without you laying hands on them. They get healed without coming forward. They get excited about the word. They start telling everybody, come to this church, brother. They preach the word down there. And there will be a revival going on every day, every Sunday. There will be a revival going on everywhere. So which way are you going to have it? It should start working inside and going out. You know, many times as a church, we wish we had more money to do more things. But we ought to wish that we have more people filled with the Holy Spirit. We ought to wish we have more people that would come in here that are demon-possessed and they get delivered. We ought to tell our neighbors, come to this church. God is going to heal your marriage. God is going to deliver your son from drugs. Come here. That's what we pray about here. That's why we have prayer meeting. Too many times we become happy with ourselves and what we got, and we forget why we are saved, and we forget why we have the Holy Spirit, and we forget why we have the power. And let me say this now, and I'm going to close. God did not give you the Holy Ghost so you can have fun for yourself. He gave you the Holy Ghost so you can deliver others. So you can deliver others, not necessarily the pastor doing all the deliverance. You delivering people. I remember one of my teachers in Bible told a story. He was pastoring a church, and there was this guy with a demon that came in the church, you know? And he was praying for him, and the church board was praying for him, and he wasn't going to deliver. And God anointed one lady from the back, and she walked forward with her eyes closed and came and laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. He fell down, the demons came out, and he was healed. That's how the Holy Ghost works. He works with anybody that will separate themselves from the world and yield themselves to God. They can bring revival to the church. Let's stand together for prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want every saint in this place, every believer, lift your hands and give him praise today. And say, Lord, I make myself available. I make myself available for the anointing that will break the yoke. Without the Holy Ghost anointing, we're not going to make it. We can have all the nice things we want. Without the anointing, they wouldn't be saved. Without anointing, the sick wouldn't be healed. Without the anointing, the demons will not go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus this morning. That name that is above every name. That name that is powerful, Lord. We call on that name today that eyes will be open. Hearts will burn within them. They will be driven to their knees to wait until they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How many of you today will draw closer? Say, Pastor, I need a few moments of prayer. And you'll come forward and stand wait before God. Who knows what God can do? Who knows what's going to happen when we pray together? If two should agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done in the name of the Lord. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. As you believe, so be it unto you. Is there someone that would say, Pastor, I need a little prayer this morning. I have a need. I have a problem. I have something I need prayer. Would you come forward right now? Let's pray together. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As you come, I want to remind you we are serving the same God that Paul served. The Holy Ghost that fell in that church in Ephesus, as the Holy Ghost, he's still in the world today. He's still falling in churches. He's still moving in believers. He's still filling people. He's still touching. He's still healing. He's still delivering. Same Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look up to him. Look up to God on the throne. Lift up your mind. Lift up the eyes of your mind. See him high and lifted up. Tell him your need this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, my brother. In the name of Jesus. As I have, I give unto you in the name of the Lord. That the power of God will come on. And you'll be motivated to search the word. Oh, You will separate yourself and you will seek his face until you start to prophesy in the name of Jesus. I bless you today, sister. In the name of Jesus. You must continue to do the work that God has called you to do. Turn not to the left or to the right, but go forward in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, young lady, give your life to the Lord and there'll be no regrets. God, I pray today you'll touch this young lady. Her eyes would be open and she will see Jesus calling on her, offering a life of purity and a life of holiness and a life of the anointing. Bless her today, God. Bless her life today in the name of Jesus. Change her to be a true believer in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for you, my sister. The Lord knows every tear that was shed. He knows every heartache, every pain. He knows every feeling. And he loves you today. He sent me to tell you that he still loves you. Holy Biendo Ramasu. Lord, let her know you care. Let her know you care this morning by giving her a fresh touch, a fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Ron, I give you a blessing today that the will of God will be done in your life, that you will seek him with all your heart. Separate yourself and seek him, that the Holy Ghost will fill you with power that you need to live above this world and live above the things of the world in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost anointing is better than a degree, brother. It is better than a degree today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God. Oh God, fill my brother today until he runs over. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bless these people today. Bless these people today, God. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Grant the desires of their heart today. Grant the power that they need in the name of Jesus. God, give him direction. Show him the way that he ought to go. Give him a vision. Give him a dream. Bless his life, God, in the name of Jesus. My brother, I pray for you today in the name of the Lord. And I give you a blessing in the name of Jesus, that God will move in your life. God will stir you up. God will answer your prayer in the name of Jesus. God, touch him. Touch him, Lord. Let him speak your word with boldness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Touch my sister today, Lord. Give her strength. Give her the desires of her heart. Grant her the things that she needs today. And let her know spiritual things are greater than the things of this life. Lead her into a deeper life with you, God. And let her know that you love her and you care for her today. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. My brother, I proclaim healing for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, the Lord who made this body. Hallelujah, the Lord who made this body can touch this body. God, we rebuke everything that is not ordinary. In the name of Jesus, we command them to go. We command healing in this body. In the name of the Lord, by your stripes we're healed. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just say thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.
Someone say praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you, as a senior pastor of this church, Father, I ask you to set this church on fire, on Holy Ghost fire, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to burn away the wood, the hay, and the stubble, the things that are done to glorify man, the things that are done on man's own strength, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that that which is done unto you, the gold, the silver, and the precious gems will remain, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, fill this place, not with just churchgoers, but people who live for Jesus, who are in love with Jesus, who are going to do what's right in Jesus' sight in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to begin a work. Lord, prune the tree. Prune the tree, Father. Remove the dead limbs. Remove the suckers, Father. Those that are just sucking life in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise, Father, that we'll be refined with the refiner's fire and the launderer's soap in Jesus' name. Father, that this church known as Victory Christian Fellowship will be alive, full of believers who love God, who are willing to walk with him and do what you've told us to do in the name of Jesus. There is no room for people who want to just play church. There is no room for a religious spirit in this place. And Lord, I thank you that just as Jesus went into the temple and he overturned the places and he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." We start to gather here at 10 a.m. And we need to come ready to praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Because God is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of our respect. So don't allow yourself to be disrespectful to God. Because God wants to do something here. He wants to do something in this community. This place was raised up years ago for such a time as this. And you either get in, get out, or get run over. It's time to draw a line in the sand and to be truly committed to Christ and his work. In Jesus' name. Father, that's my prayer. That's my heart's cry. Lord, I stand before you in the name of Jesus, and I call upon you, Almighty God, and I give you thanks and praise, Father, that your power will be free to flow in this place like never before in the name of Jesus. Lord, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow like a mighty rushing river in this place in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you thanks and praise, Father, that you are creating an atmosphere where you can add to this place daily, such as those who should be saved. You can multiply us. You can increase us. You can do what you want to do here in this place, Father. In the name of Jesus. Some need to examine themselves. You need to examine yourself. And Lord, we thank you for your word today that you've given to your servant. Father, may this word stay fresh in our minds. May this word burn in our hearts. And Father, may we do the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. And if you'd like to make an investment into Pastor Serge Paul and his ministry, you can do so in the offering container. Put in some extra, designate it with his name, and we'll make sure that he gets it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, Father. Thank you, Father, for this word today and the power of your Holy Spirit. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone's invited to fellowship. You know, God doesn't make anybody serve him. It's a choice. He gives you the free will to do with what you want. Hallelujah. God is so good. You know what? In the times that we're living in, God may ask you for more. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your gifts, talents, and abilities. Your time. Amen? Listen, sometimes there's going to be seasons that require more of our time than others. Amen? We're in a season right now that we need to give God our best. So let's do it together in Jesus' name. Have a great day. Join us for fellowship in Jesus' name.